Marx and Engels had written the Communist Manifesto. It appeared in February of 1848, and announced that a specter was haunting Europe, the specter of communism. Well, this was a little premature. Socialism was not an important, did not play an important role. Socialist ideas, socialist forces did not play an important role in 1848. But they were clearly, by stating a critique of liberal capitalism, unrestrained liberal capitalism, attacking the abuses that one has seen in the evolution of industrialization in Britain and also in France and beginning in Germany, they were giving radical Republicans a social agenda to deal with as well. Not a full assault on capitalism, but some sort of reform of capitalism, giving it a social conscience. Until 1848, universal male suffrage had been the top priority of radical Republicans. It would not be after 1848. Universal suffrage now was a source of concern to liberals. Why was that? Well, the election of Louis Napoleon in France. When universal suffrage had been extended by the Second Republic, as it was called, the brief life of the Second Republic, what had been the result? The result had not been a great groundswell of support for left liberalism. Instead, it had been the landslide victory of Louis Napoleon. So the question was, what does universal suffrage, what did this tell liberals, what did this tell conservatives about universal male suffrage? What did this tell them about the people who had been so lionized by the liberals? In Central Europe, liberalism had been crushed in Berlin and Vienna and elsewhere. The liberals had been divided and would remain divided by additional factors than those we see in France. The most obvious one was a growing division within liberalism over the importance of national unification. There were those liberals who argued that the first priority had to be to establish a liberal constitutional framework for a German state. And then maybe you could have unification. Just create liberal states around Germany and then a national unification. And those liberals who argued, who were impatient with this solution and who suggested, well, this was unrealistic, that if Germany was to develop economically, then national unification had to come first, and then one could press for all the other liberal reforms. And the other implication of 1848 for liberalism in German Central Europe was that in all likelihood, national unification was going to have to come from above, not from below. In this sense, one of the awful legacies of 1848 for German liberalism was that liberalism had been given its great chance in 1848, its chance to unify the country, and it had failed. 1848 was not 1789 replayed. It was a failed revolution. At least a great many liberals looked at it this way. There was also the concern that one saw in France about the implications of universal male suffrage. If one enfranchises artisans, peasants, and so on, are they likely to vote for a liberal agenda, or will they be drawn to more traditional political movements? Although formally committed to universal male suffrage, liberals after 1848 were concerned about their social support, its breadth and its depth, and afraid that universal male suffrage would simply produce a conservative backlash, as it appeared to have done in France, and might do in the future in Germany. There was no real socialist threat as yet in Germany, so that German liberals continued to battle aristocracy and monarchy in the decade after 1848, but with a growing sense, a growing unease that perhaps their social support wasn't as broad as they had believed it was in those heady days of March 1848.